Happy Palm Sunday. It is a joy to look upon your faces. I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to resume our study of the book of Romans, Lord willing, the Sunday after Easter. But today we're going to read verses 3 through 14, 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 230. And if you do not own a Bible, we would invite you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany to you. Thank you for your prayers as you sent me to be with our dear friends and gospel partners in Northeast India over the past 2 weeks. As I greeted them for you, now I return and greet you for them. I bring you greetings of affection and fellowship from Tainam Baptist Church in Tainam, Manipur, and also from Union Baptist Church in Ukhrul, Manipur, and from the staff of the Tonkul Theological Association, and from the board and staff of Wangram Christian Institute. We are separated by a great distance on this planet, but we are united as one in Christ Jesus our Lord. And our brothers and sisters in Christ in Northeast India ask me to give you their gratitude for sending me to be with them over these past 2 weeks. Now, today's message, I should go ahead and say up front, is going to be somewhat different from the typical sermon that I regularly preach at our weekly worship gatherings. I stand here certainly to preach God's truth from His Word, but also to testify to His overcoming grace. And I pray the result is your encouragement and glory to the name of our awesome Redeemer and King, whose entry into Jerusalem, His final entry into Jerusalem during His earthly ministry, we remember in Mark on this Palm Sunday. He entered that city to the praises of the people as they sang, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." King Jesus entered Jerusalem that day for the purpose of laying down his life for our salvation. Hosanna indeed. His grace, his saving grace, would overcome our sin, deliver us from the dark domain of the devil, and transfer us into the kingdom of his light and life. May Christ be glorified in our lives, in our life together, as we live in glad gratitude for his overcoming grace and in absolute dependence on his overcoming grace. I confess to you that I don't know how to adequately put into words all that my God and King taught me during this recent trip. His almighty finger of power was displayed in so many ways, so many details. I don't even know that I have yet recognized all the details. But of some of what I have recognized, I gladly testify today. If I had to assign a theme to this recent trip, two primary words I would use are obstacles and grace. There were so many frustrating obstacles. And what God let me witness was how His grace overcomes every single obstacle when we surrender ourselves to His holy will. And so today I preach to you on the theme of facing obstacles and seeing God's overcoming grace. Give your full attention to the reading God's Word, beginning with verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7. "And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, we pray that as this your word has been read, and now as your truth is preached and your grace is testified to, we pray that you would fall fresh on us. We ask that you would open our ears that we might hear the glorious voice of King Jesus, that we might rest secure by faith in the love of God the Father Almighty. We pray, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that your people would be encouraged and built up as your grace is testified to this day, and as your truth is preached. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The main event for which I traveled to Northeast India over the last 2 weeks was for the inauguration of WCI, Wangram Christian Institute, the vision that God gave to Atan and Chanchan Shongzan some years ago has become a vision that Bethany shares with them as their gospel partners, that there would be an institute planted in that region of Northeast India for the purpose of training up young people in viable trades and discipling them in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there would be an institute where pastors from that region and beyond could come and be reinvigorated for their ministries. That there would be an institute where gospel emissaries would be prepared and sent out to take the gospel throughout that region to the ends of the earth. The word Wangram is the Tangkul word for kingdom. Tangkul, of course, is the language of the clan, the tribe that Atan and Chanchan belong to. I'm actually honoring them by wearing a male attire from that tribe. These are their symbols and the colors for their tribe. So Wangram means kingdom, which means Wangram Christian Institute means Kingdom Christian Institute, and its purpose is to labor for the extension of Christ's kingdom throughout that region and beyond. Now, more than 3 years ago, some 20 acres of land were made available for WCI to purchase from a a clan within the tribe. And Bethany sent a team of four Bethany members in 2023 to tour that land and to plant a few trees on that land and to pray for the Lord's blessing on that land. And God has enabled Bethany to play a large part in funding the construction of buildings for the WCI campus on that plot of land. Four of those buildings have now been constructed, and the plan for three more of those buildings was merged into one large multipurpose building that is, as of today, roughly a third of the way built. So I took this trip to be with our dear friends there to mark and to celebrate the next chapter that God is creating in the story of Wingrum Christian Institute, to be a part of Inauguration Day. The first class of students, which will consist of roughly 10 people, is scheduled to be in place and ready for instruction during the month of April. So you sent me to be with our gospel partners as we marked and celebrated the next chapter of WCI. Now, 3 weeks before I left, God laid on me this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7 to be the inauguration, or to form the inauguration address. They had asked me if I would speak at the inauguration celebration and lead that, and I, of course, agreed to, and God laid on me this passage. I had no idea at that time how much we were going to need to hear the message of this passage. I went there to say to them that this inauguration day was a day for celebration. What began as a vision now has a plot of land in the mountains of Manipur and buildings constructed on that land. Though much hard work has gone into seeing that land cleared and prepared and seeing materials procured and put into place and seeing those buildings built, we recognize that it is all by God's grace, and we celebrate that divine grace. I was reminded of a hymn we often sing, written by an 18th century Baptist preacher named Robert Robinson. Robinson, he was involved in gang life and drunkenness during his early years, and then he was saved. The Lord saved him under the ministry of George Whitefield, and God called him to be a pastor. That's exactly the type of gospel transformation we long to see God bring about through WCI. And later, Robinson wrote a hymn that we still sing today. The first stanza of that hymn says, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." And as we gathered there on that plot of land where WCI campus is being constructed, as we gathered there, we did so with that prayer of petition and praise in our hearts. The second stanza of that hymn says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." I wonder how many times someone has sung that verse of that hymn, not realizing what an Ebenezer is and what it means. That second stanza of the hymn is inspired by this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel played a key role in the history of God's people in the Old Testament. Samuel was one of the great historical figures in Israel. He's mentioned later in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament alongside names like Moses and David. Samuel's role came during the time of transition between the time of the judges and the time of the kings in Israel. Samuel was both a judge and a prophet in Israel, and he was the one God would call to anoint Israel's first kings. Now, early in Samuel's ministry of leadership, the Ark of the Covenant was lost to Israel as it was taken during a war with the Philistines, along with several cities and land that belonged to Israel. That was lost as well. And Israel lamented that great loss of the Ark, as the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God with Israel. But then when the Ark was returned, that their lament to God did not prove to make them so eager to repent of their idolatry. And so some 20 years passed, and Samuel called the people of Israel to forsake their idols and to pledge their allegiance to God alone, to serve the Lord only. And Samuel called Israel to assemble together, gather on a plot of land called Mizpah, and Samuel would there pray for them. So Israel gathered on that plot of land called Mizpah, and they fasted and they confessed to God. Now, meanwhile, as the people of Israel were gathered there on that plot of land at Mizpah, the Philistines heard of it, and they seized that as an opportunity to march against Israel and to attack them. God's people faced a great obstacle. And Israel heard the news of the Philistines' plan, and they were afraid, and they pleaded with Samuel to pray to God for them. In response, Samuel, we just read it, he sacrificed a lamb to God for Israel. And as he did so, the Philistines initiated their attack. But the Lord heard Samuel's prayer, and he threw the Philistine army into confusion so that the Philistine army was routed before Israel that day. In his grace, the Lord came to the rescue. He overcame. And it's at that point we read this verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." Samuel erected a stone to memorialize God's overcoming grace on behalf of his people. This word, Ebenezer, it's a transliteration of a Hebrew name, which means stone of help, or the helper is a stone. And Samuel's words concerning the Lord's help can be translated as referring to a point in time, as the ESV translates it, "Till now the Lord has helped us." It can also be translated as referring to a point in place, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So in both translations, the laying of that stone was a celebration of the Lord's help, and also a declaration of dependence on the Lord's help. We read there in verse 13 how the Philistines were overcome and were driven out. And then we read in verse 14 how the land and the cities that had been lost were restored. So obstacles faced until now, and from now on, we are dependent on the Lord's mighty help. Obstacles faced, and thus far, and from here on, we are dependent on the Lord's mighty help. 3 weeks prior, this is the passage the Lord laid on me for the inauguration address of Wingrum Christian Institute. Hear now my testimony concerning obstacles faced and God's overcoming grace. My number one prayer and priority for this trip was that I would be an encouragement to our dear friends and our gospel partners there. Bear that in mind. But another prayer and priority for this trip was that it be an exploratory trip to explore what it would take for us to take another team, small team from Bethany there, in the future. See, since that team, right after that team in 2023 departed Manipur, strife between tribes erupted in that state. And that strife has fluctuated in intensity, and it's also shifted, involving different tribes at different times. And for that reason, the Indian government requires that any foreigner entering into that region and that state, any foreigner is to obtain a special permit. And I tried for weeks, months really, to apply, to figure out how to apply for that permit, but to no avail. And we all, but many of us were praying that God would overcome that obstacle to me going on this trip. And the Lord answered our prayer. God raised up a friend and a brother in Christ who is in a position of high authority there in the land. And that this friend said that he would have a man meet me at the airport to help with the application of this permit. And so after spending two nights in New Delhi, after I flew to New Delhi, spending two nights there, I flew on to the capital city of Manipur, which is called Imphal, but with no special permit in hand. But our friend kept his promise, and when I arrived at the airport, a man met me there and helped me to start the process of applying for this special permit. One of the airport workers began to fill out the application. And then the man whom our brother had sent to meet me, he came back over. We'd been there about 25 minutes or so, and the man was asking me for information. He was filling things out. And the man who had met me, he came back and said to the airport worker, "He does not need to wait here for this. Let him go. You finish his application for the special permit." So I was given verbal permission to leave the airport and proceed to our destination, but without a special permit in hand. Bear that in mind. Now, meanwhile, the strife had swelled again along the road, the main road from Imphal, the capital city of Manipur, and Ukhrul, the town where WCI was located. And so they had closed that main road, yet another obstacle. So we had to take a 6.5-hour detour along very rugged mountain roads that involved crossing a river without a bridge. Yet another obstacle. But we just drove right through the water and climbed up the other side. How's that for exploratory, right? He provided a sturdy four-wheel drive vehicle. He provided a capable driver, and so we arrived in Ukhrul 6.5 hours later, and I checked into my hotel. Special permit was not asked for. About 2 days later, this would have been on Saturday, we were standing on the plot of land where the WCI campus is being constructed, and we went to work in making preparations for the public inauguration celebration that was to happen exactly 1 week later on the next Saturday. And the work was going well. We were doing primarily a lot of painting. And some other things, some cleanup. Now, on Sunday, the next day, on Sunday the 15th, we were going to worship with the church at Tanum, the village where Atan and Chan Chan grew up and where Atan's parents, and his elderly parents, and his brother still live. Now, the church service was to start at 7:30 a.m. On Sunday, and so it was about over an hour drive along those rugged mountain roads, and so we left my hotel a little bit before 6 o'clock that morning, And about a third, well, about two-thirds of the way there, we came to a place where a rock slide had occurred the night before and had deposited, had deposited a large boulder in the middle of the road. Understand, it's really kind of hard for us to understand, really. It's not like you can just take another street over here and go around it. There are no more streets. This is it. This is the way to Tainum. And so there's a large boulder, literally an obstacle in the road before us. We had no lever with which to move this boulder from the road. And so Atan and another young man who was traveling with us and I, we got out and we began to try to clear a passable corridor. And we were enabled to move just enough of the small stones over here on the right side, just enough of those to allow the vehicle to pass. But through so tight a corridor that as we passed, the large boulder actually scraped the hubcaps. Still, the Lord overcame, and he got us to church for worship. I preached that worship service on Psalm 121 on the subject of the Lord your keep and our keeper, the Lord our keeper, blessed our time of worship together after lunch with the pastor of the church, and then after visiting Atan's parents and his family there in Tainum, we drove back to Ukrul, and that evening, we invited the district commissioner and his family to come to Atan and Chan Chan's home to have dinner with us. Now, this district commissioner, he was one of the handful of important dignitaries who had been invited and was planning to come to the public inauguration that was going to take place on Saturday. And about some 70 people, actually, from the community were slotted to attend that inauguration. Bear that in mind as well. Early the next week, we had a seminar, a discourse at the Tonkul Theological Association with pastors and church leaders from the area. And so there were a handful who attended that event who were sitting there, something like you are right now. And I was speaking on the subject of church membership when I heard a loud noise come from the back of the building. And I didn't see anything, but I heard a loud crash or something. And I saw expressions of some fear on the people's faces. And so I stopped teaching and I said, what was that? Earthquake, was the reply. Okay. But I resume teaching. I mean, because, hey, the Lord is your keeper. We shall not fear, though the earth gives way. Right? That's right. So later in the week, I forgot to show you that picture, but later in the week, it was about the time probably the earthquake was shaking us. But later that week, we devoted three more days to work a preparation for the inauguration celebration that was to take place on Saturday. Three more days, and it was on Friday. So the day before the inauguration, it was on Friday when Atan showed me granite plaques that he had prepared for us to erect and to unveil at the inauguration the next day. And so we mounted those plaques on the main building of the campus, erecting a stone to memorialize the event. And we stayed late there that evening, and then as we left and we started our drive back into town, I asked Atan a question about the purchase of the land purchase from the clan within the tribe. My question had to do with whether WCI's ownership was secure for the long haul. And Eitan answered that question, and he later told me the next day he wondered, why did you ask that question at that point in time? And I later told him the next day, I have no idea why I asked that question. It just came into my mind. And so Eitan dropped me off at the hotel, and he went on to his home. And the next day was going to be the main event for which you sent me. The main event, the public inauguration of One Groom Christian Institute with all of the dignitaries of the community, all of the some 70 people scheduled to attend. At 6 o'clock Saturday morning, Eitan phoned me and said, there's been a development. The WCI board wishes to meet with you over breakfast. And so I said, okay. And they came to the hotel. There's a restaurant there at the top floor. We met for breakfast. And at that breakfast meeting, the WCI board informed me that, well, Eitan, after he dropped me off at my hotel and he went on to his house, he found there that a document had been delivered from a committee of people in another clan within the tribe who is disputing the ownership of a rather large swath of land, a whole mountain range, really, that includes the property WCI has purchased from the other clan. Another obstacle, and perhaps the greatest one yet. The board had, overnight, had thought on this document, discussed this document, prayed over this document, and the board had come to a decision to postpone the public inauguration of the Institute. And they were concerned about how I was going to react, how you were going to react. For you sent me, and I went primarily for that main event of the public inauguration of One Groom Christian Institute. And I admitted to them, of course, that it was shocking news to hear. But I then immediately assured them that I considered their decision to postpone to be commendable. You see, the board could have proceeded with the inauguration, legally, because the board, the WCI, has a deed to the land. They could have proceeded with the public inauguration, but it would have been a slap in the face to people, to a clan within that community, within that tribe. And a slap in the face is no way to begin a Christian institute in the community for the community. And so I told them, I said, I'm so very sorry that you are facing this kind of disappointing obstacle on a day that you have all been looking forward to for so long, and we have been looking forward to it with you. I'm so sorry that you are facing this. But then I said this, I said, we must remember, brothers, that committee of people, they are not our enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his dark domain. Now, I have no doubt that our spiritual enemy is behind this great obstacle that has now arisen that we are facing. I have no doubt that he is behind it, but we need to be reminded that far above our enemy sits our Father on his throne and the Lord Jesus Christ with all authority. And no matter what obstacles we might face, his grace will overcome every single one, and he will see his purposes to be fulfilled. And he will, on top of that, he will use this obstacle and he will work it somehow together for the good of his plan, of his purposes, and for our good as his people. There were tears and there were prayers at that breakfast meeting. In the afternoon, the WCI board and staff and I gathered on the plot of land where the WCI campus is being constructed, and we held a private inauguration. And in my remarks, after I read this from this passage of Scripture, well, first, let me back up. Something I've left out. When we arrived at the campus, Atan's brother, whom I told you lives in Tanum, an hour drive away from Ukurul, we learned from him, as he came from Tanum, we learned from him that the night before, Atan's elderly father, who has gone almost completely deaf, casually asked his son, Atan's brother, asked him, what are you doing tomorrow, my son? And Atan's brother reminded 87-year-old father about the public inauguration of WCI. And though the father had no knowledge whatsoever of any document that had been just delivered to Atan's home an hour away, the father said, "No, son, I think you should wait on that." And Atan's brother wondered, why would father say that? Why would he say that? Just like Atan wondered, why, Ken, did you ask that question at that point in time about the land? What we were seeing was the almighty finger of our Father in heaven preparing us and working to help us as we faced a great disappointment the very next morning. What we were hearing was our Father saying, you followed my will and you made your plans. But what will you do if my plan involves obstacles? Will you trust me? We had planned for a lot of people to be there at that public inauguration, including dignitaries from the community. What we experienced instead was the power of the Almighty God. We expected people, we got power. And now in my remarks, after I read this passage from 1 Samuel chapter 7, I said there have been many obstacles that the vision of WCI has faced. Marching as an enemy against the vision and to see the vision defeated. There have been monsoons and landslides. There's been tribal strife throughout the region. There's been bans on getting the materials in a timely manner. That's just to name a few. But the Lord our God, in His grace, He has overcome every single obstacle. There is no one and there is nothing that is mightier than He. And He has abundantly helped us. He has provided all that we need to bring us to this very day. And so we can gladly testify, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. We can gladly testify, till now and thus far, the Lord has helped us. And now today, we face an obstacle, perhaps the greatest obstacle yet in this dispute over the land. Do you know what it is? It is a reminder. It is a reminder that we must confess we are just as much in need of our Lord's help in the days before us as we were in the days behind us. We celebrate His help. We celebrate and praise His name, yes, but our celebration rings with the petition for His almighty finger of help to provide and to protect and to guide and to empower WCI for His kingdom purposes, for the good of His church, and for the glory of His great name. We declare our dependence on His overcoming grace. In Paul's second letter to his protege, Timothy, Paul sought to strengthen Timothy for his duty in ministry. And in the first verse of the second chapter of that letter, Paul told Timothy and us what the source of that strength is. He said, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There and there alone is the strength, the source of strength for the next chapter of WCI and the next chapter of Bethany Baptist Church and every chapter that is to follow. The only source is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The very next verse, Paul wrote these words. He said, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul wanted Timothy to take the substance of the gospel that he had heard from Paul, and he wanted Timothy to pass it on to others who would then pass it on to others. That's four generations of gospel workers in a single verse of God's word. Paul to Timothy to others who would pass it on to others. The vision of Wingrum Christian Institute is to be a holistic equipping station for the gospel life. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms a person completely. Every aspect of life, family, work, ministry, mission. The vision of WCI is to see young people trained in a viable trade, to be the helping hand for those who are in need, who need to learn how to work to provide for themselves and for their families and for the betterment of their community and for the glory of God, to help them to see the joy of daily doing their daily work as unto the Lord. The vision of WCI is to see those young people discipled in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in partnership with a local church, they might come to know Christ and to mature in knowing Christ. For there is no other way to glorify God but through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior and the King of the only eternal kingdom, the only eternal Wingrum. The vision of WCI is to have a place where pastors in that region and beyond can come and be strengthened and reinvigorated to keep their hand to the plow and never give up and to fulfill the ministries that have been trusted to them. The vision of WCI is to be a place where gospel emissaries are prepared and sent out to take the gospel throughout that northeastern region, the Seven Sisters, they call it, and throughout the whole Republic of India, and throughout the 1040 window where so many of the unreached people groups reside, and to the ends of the earth. That's a big vision. The vision is to faithfully pass on the gospel which we have received to the next generation who will then pass it on to the next. And that is 2 Timothy 2:2. That's the vision not only for WCI, but that is the vision for Bethany Baptist Church as well. And we need to hear it, church family. Till now and thus far, the Lord has helped us. He has provided everything that we need for us to be here this very day. And we celebrate and we praise His name. And as we do so confessing our declaration of dependence on His overcoming grace. That we must be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's how Bethany and that's how WCI will march forward into the next chapter, whatever that chapter looks like. That's how we're going to march forward into the next chapter, with prayer to our Father in heaven, with devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are ever, ever confident in His sufficient help. What did I learn in Manipur? I heard my father say, "What will you see when you face obstacles?" What will you do when my plan looks a little different than you thought it was going to look? Because whether it involves moving rocks off a road, or crossing rivers with no bridges, or tear-filled breakfast meetings, or private inaugurations, you can be sure that my grace will overcome every obstacle and my purpose will be fulfilled. And beloved church, hear me, please, as your pastor. That's the lesson. I don't know what you're facing. I know some of what we're facing together here in Louisville, and I know some of what we're facing together now with our gospel partners over there in Manipur. But I do know this. The one lesson we need to learn is simple faith in our Almighty God to accomplish His every purpose for us. And that for our good. Our response to this message is going to include, first, in just a moment, a time of devoted prayer that I will lead us in before we close, before we sing our hymn. We're going to focus a time of prayer, praise, and petition to our Lord. But first, I want to give you a postscript. I spent 12 days in Ukhrul, Manipur, and the surrounding region without a special permit in hand. Nobody even asked me for a permit. On Sunday, the 22nd, we were going to worship with Union Baptist Church in Ukhrul. This is the church where Atan and Chan Chan are presently members, and we did that. I preached Psalm 125 on the subject of how the Lord surrounds His people, and that evening, Atan and Chan Chan and I had dinner together, and we had a recap of our time, my visit, and there were a lot of tears in that recap as well. And Atan looked at me and he said, "Pastor Ken, I don't know how I could have faced what we had to face this week." Had God not brought you to be at my side? And so my number one prayer and priority was abundantly answered by my God. The next morning, I led a devotion for the staff at the Tangkul Theological Association, and then Atan and Chan Chan and I got into a vehicle to begin yet another different 4.5-hour detour to Imphal, because the main road was still closed due to the protest. And as we sat in that vehicle, and Atan, before he even turned the key to start the vehicle, I got a message on my phone. And I looked at it, and I started to laugh. And I turned to Atan and Chan Chan, and I said, "Guess what? I just received my special permit." And we laughed together, and we spoke about how surely our Father in heaven has a sense of humor. And so we left Ukhrul, and we were driving along that 4.5-hour detour through those rugged mountain roads, and we came across. I looked out the side of the passenger vehicle, window, and just saw a beautiful vista. And I said, "Atan, if you can find a little place to pull off the track in a few moments, do so. I want to take a picture of this. It's so beautiful." And so he rounded a curve, and there was obviously other people had thought it was beautiful because somebody had built this little bench out of tree branches. There had a little clearing beside the track, and so we pulled off, and Chan Chan snapped that picture of Atan and I sitting on the bench looking out over this vista of our Father's beautiful, creative work. And in that moment, I can tell you that my heart was once again encouraged to know that no matter what obstacles might be in front that we might face, no matter what they might be, that our Father's plan and purpose for us and our life together, for Bethany Baptist Church, for WCI, our Father's plan and purpose is all the more beautiful. When we arrived at the hotel in Imphal, the capital city, I walked up to the desk, and the young man behind the desk looked at me, noting that I was obviously a foreigner. And he said, "Do you have a permit to be here?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do. Would you like to see it?" And I showed it to him, and he had to make a copy of it and everything. First time I was asked for that permit. After we checked into the hotel, we went and visited our friend, our brother, who is in a high position of authority. We visited him at the police complex for the whole state of Manipur. And just had a delightful visit with him for about an hour. And as we rose to leave, he said to me, "Ken, I do hope that you will come again and visit with us." And I smiled and nodded and shook his head. And inside, I simply thought this: amen. Yes, amen. Because till now and thus far, the Lord has helped us. And of facing obstacles and God's overcoming grace, I have not even yet told the half of it. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask us, if anybody would like to come forward and kneel at the altar, please feel free to do so. I'm going to do so. And as we pray, we're going to primarily begin with giving praise to God for how he has helped us, and then we're going to lift up petitions for the work being done for the vision of WCI. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that we can raise our own Ebenezer, that we can say, till now and thus far, you have helped us in every imaginable way. You have helped us. You have brought us and to this place, provided all that is needed for us to be at this place and in this moment. It is only by your almighty finger of help. We praise you this day. We thank you for how you have provided and worked in the life of Bethany Baptist Church and in the story you are creating of Wingram Christian Institute and our partnership together. God, we thank you for all that you have done. God, it's just been amazing to see how you have provided for the availability of this land, and then how you have provided for people to willingly and joyfully give for the construction of the campus, how you have overcome so many obstacles. We have recounted so many of them, many of those obstacles in this very hour. We've recounted them, but there's so many we probably haven't even recognized, but you have overcome them. It is by your help. It is only by your help that we have arrived at this place and at this moment in time. So we praise you and we thank you for that abundant help. And Lord God, you know the obstacles that we are facing at this moment and this place. This plot of land, God, that in which buildings are being constructed, and there's now this dispute over this larger swath of land, and a dispute that really has its roots back hundreds of years between these two clans and chiefs in this clan. And I don't even presume to understand any of it and how the tribal, the clan relationships within the tribe work. I don't pretend to understand a bit of it, but I know you do. And I know, God, that you can overcome and that you will overcome this obstacle. I confess, we confess, we don't know what that might look like. We don't know what it will look like. We don't know all the details of your plan, but we know that you will overcome. And God, I know, we know that you have provided for this land and these buildings to be built there. And so we plead with you and we ask that the relationships between these two clans would be reconciled, and that regardless of which clan has right to the larger swath, that the deed of WCI and the ownership of that property for that campus would be protected by your almighty hand. And we pray, God, that the next chapter of the story that you are writing in WCI would be this first class of students being trained up for a trade and discipled in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we pray that you would give wisdom for every decision of the board and that you would give strength for every task that must be carried out. We ask, God, by your grace, that there might be, even in the coming week, God, if it be your will, that even this week they might be able to have a public inauguration and that the community would celebrate this institute that has been planted there by your hand for that community, for their people, for all of their clans. And God, we thank you and praise you for your abundant, abundant help, for your overcoming grace. We ask, God, for your hand of power to continue to rest upon our brother Atan and our sister Chan Chan and their little Abigail. And we pray, God, that the encouragement that they have received from your hand in the last couple of weeks, that encouragement would continue to build within them, that they would know that ultimately, and most importantly, they have your presence with them, not only by their side, but within them, and that they would be ever encouraged that you, the Lord their God, the Lord our God, will always provide all that is needed. We praise you and we petition you in the name of our Savior and Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.